back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Gary Van Sickle, contributor to MorningReadSI.com. Gary, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's always great being had, Anne.
Yes, indeed. And we're just back from just quite the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits, and what a performance by the U.S. team, 19-9, the most points ever won in a Ryder Cup. What are your overall thoughts?
Well, for one thing, I didn't think we'd ever see anything like this in our lifetimes, the way Europe has been beating the Americans like a drum most of the time. So winning was a little bit of a surprise to me, and winning by that margin was a shocker. So we saw history. I don't know what more you can say. We're probably not going to see either team win by that kind of margin again. So let's sit back and feel good that we were part of something special.
It really, really was special. And what were some of the keys, do you think?
I think the Americans coming in a couple of weeks early for a weekend where they not only bonded, all 11 of the 12 team, I believe Koepka was out with a wrist injury. All the vice captains came. Not only did they bond, but they picked up 2 or 3 days more of course knowledge. And I think anybody out there who watched the Ryder Cup on TV saw what a unique course Whistling Straits was. These pros get blasé about learning golf courses because they do it all the time, but I don't think you can learn Whistling Straits in 2 days, especially with the wind changing directions in the middle of the tournament. So that single-handedly might have been a key reason they won. I think the other was the Americans had a lot of guys who were in great form, and the Europeans didn't have very money. I mean, they needed Rory McIlroy to play great, and he was way off form. They had Jon Rahm, and really Sergio played pretty good, but they didn't have anybody else playing that well, and a lot of guys not playing so good. So it was just bad timing. I mean, if you took the same two teams, lined them up, say, you know, a month, 2 months earlier, 2 months later, the outcome might be different, or it might be a lot closer. So it was a combination of things. And I think Stricker made everything easy for his team. He simplified things. He made their schedules do what you want to do. And you may note there was no big dress up closing ceremony like we used to have.
Right.
Yeah, Steve Stricker got rid of that. I think selfishly, because he didn't want to have to speak again. But,
and admit that he was a Chicago Bears fan instead of, you know, his native Green Bay Packers fan.
But he doesn't like speaking in public. But mainly the players don't want to do that.
Right.
Especially the losing team. The last thing the losing team wants to do is put on a blazer, take a shower, put on a blazer. It takes time. He shoots the whole evening and go up there and sit there and listen to how great the other side was. So I thought that was they shook hands, they got it done quickly. It was way better, but that was Steve Stricker. My point being, he did everything he could and then some for his team, and they had more guys playing better than the Europeans, and that was that.
That was that. On paper, they were a stronger team rankings-wise, the Americans, but you know, you really still have to get it done on the golf course. And what was impressive to me is that they really did play lights out. I mean, for the most part, all of them really rose to the occasion and played really great golf. You know, one of the things that I was, you know, you look at whether or not European captain Padraig Harrington made any mistakes. I just think, you know, the mistake was really made before the Ryder Cup in his picks. And apparently he could choose how many captain's picks that he wanted. And he only chose 4 as opposed to Captain Steve Stricker having 6 captain's picks. And, you know, the guys that went in on the European team based on ranking, as you mentioned, they were playing maybe lights out months ago, but, you know, not really coming into this Ryder Cup. So if there was any one mistake that I thought Harrington made was in just not getting more picks so that he could pick the guys that were really, you know, coming in hot.
What? Wouldn't you want to have the same choices as your opponent?
That's right.
Steve Stricker got 6 picks. If I'm the European captain, it's like, well, then I get 6 picks.
That's right.
You know, he might not have picked Lee Westwood. you know, he wasn't playing well. Ian Poulter, he did pick, wasn't playing well. He had to leave off Justin Rose. Not sure if he was a big improvement. You know, I think another thing that hurt him was some guys you maybe would have expected to be here a couple of years ago are either hurt or flamed out. I mean, Henrik Stenson was still young enough to have made this team. Graham McDowell was a star of the 2010 Ryder Cup. He didn't make it. Francesco Molinari has been out with a bad back. There's three guys who at peak form could have helped this team, and they just weren't available. But honestly, as far as who you're going to pick, well, who else did Harrington have to pick from? Alexander Noren, Victor Perez, you know, nobody else really. You know, they had the opposite problem the Americans usually have. Usually going into the picks, the American captain has three or four picks, and he's only got about two guys he really wants, two guys who are hot. And the European captain has two or three or four picks, and he's got guys who are playing great. And this time it was the other way around, and maybe that was the telltale sign that the Americans should have been favored or were favored. They had more guys playing well right now than the Europeans. So you can't predict. If the Ryder Cup was in March, Westwood could have been a star, but it was in September, and his game kind of disappeared.
Were you surprised by Rory McIlroy's overall poor performance? I mean, he won his singles match, which was good to see, but he was 0-for-3 in the team matches and actually benched for the first time ever in the Saturday morning session.
Well, think about that sentence. Rory McIlroy got benched for a session. You would think if he got benched for a session, it would be for like insubordination or, you know, a bathroom issue or something, not because he was playing so bad. He wasn't one of their eight best guys. He was one of the stalwarts of that team. He was one of the two pillars with John Rahm. And if you have to bench him, you know, it'd be like benching Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson back in the day. You just don't do that unless something's really wrong. So that was a big blow to the European team, a guy who they counted on. And not only that, but psychologically, that certainly didn't help them. They got off to a bad start. They get beat. And then they find out Saturday morning Rory's not playing. Maybe some of the team said, yeah, he's playing rubbish good. But some of the other team going, we're going into a gunfight with a knife. We don't have Rory. So that was a shocker. Rory switched coaches this year in the middle of the season. Nobody ever does that or rarely does that. And I think he's caught between an old swing and a new swing. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back next year. Not when he has time to work on that and, you know, on a mission to prove that the Ryder Cup was not the Rory McIlroy he wants people to remember. So I'd look for him to maybe have a big 2022.
And his interview after the singles match, I've never seen Rory McIlroy more emotional. He was crying. He obviously had been through a very tough week. He did say the Ryder Cup is the best event in golf. There's no greater privilege, he said, to be a part of the Ryder Cup. And he did use the S word and then apologized for it, saying he couldn't give a for individual play, that the Ryder Cup is everything, which is really a kind of a different stance for Rory McIlroy, right? I mean, he was not always a Ryder Cup guy. Or an Olympic guy either, and he loved the Olympics.
Well, that's right. He was not a huge fan, and he's changed his tune. And look, that if you didn't like Rory McIlroy before, and I don't know why you wouldn't have liked him. He's always been a down-to-earth, authentic, real guy. The money and fame have never gone to his head. He's still incredibly approachable for a guy with, you know, this kind of record and this kind of status. It's, you know, I hate to use the word adorable, but you have to respect the emotion. And you know, he even swore on TV, and when he gets done, he's still sniffling and goes, oh, sorry for swearing back then. I mean, that just said it all. He and all the European players really get at the Ryder Cup. They are so classy. They had wonderful comments. They're joking about losing. They're, you know, Ian Poulter said, I've only lost once. This really hurts. And they both joked, Westwood and Poulter both joked about, don't get me started, I'm going to start crying. It's like, well, I was already crying outside, I let it go. You know, Westwood talked about might have been his last match at 48. And if he did, well, I had my son on the bag. I was with my son and I won a point. Then he was so choked up, he couldn't talk. They were, if you go read the transcript, the Europeans, you will respect them even more. They are a good bunch of guys. And the Americans had fun in their press conference. And I think they came off maybe as one of the most likable American teams in recent memory, because we've had some guys who haven't, you know, been so open or honest or fun. These guys were having a blast. And Dustin Johnson was hilarious after, I suspect, maybe one or two cups of beer. He was you're going, who is this man? He's what a personality. And I wish we'd see more of that. So
Dustin Johnson.
The quality golf was so good, and the way both these guys, both these teams rather, were in victory and defeat was really, it validates Rory McIlroy's point. This is not only the best event in golf for the players, it's the best event in golf for the spectators and the fans. You don't get to see these guys play this hard and this well with this much emotion anywhere else. And it's as simple as that. It is golf's best event. No question about it.